Hello and welcome to episode 38 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by Ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. I'm your host, Todd Dudley, and I'm joined, as always, by the editor-in-chief of Ruck.co.uk and my co-host, Steve Smith. Hello, Steve-o. How's it going, mate?
I'm good, mate. It's good to be back. It's been, it's been 2 months of rugby non-stop, and now it feels like we've just hit a lull.
A real lull. We're relying on...
It's like a hangover, isn't it?
A very rainy premiership to keep us entertained, which is...
The premiership's on, is it?
Apparently so, mate. That's what I've heard. Yeah, I've seen one clip of Finn Russell firing an offload out the back, and that's
oh, Radha's got to try, mate. Radha's got to try.
Of course he did. What a month or so of rugby. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. It's gone very quickly, but we are here with South Africa being double world champions. Quadruple world champions, back to back world champions, I should say.
I think they've won as many World Cups as rugby championships now.
Jeez, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it just shows that the World Cup's different for them. It's different.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think we're there already, so let's not waste any time. Let's just jump straight into the final. I would imagine if someone is listening to this podcast, they probably watched the final. I would imagine.
You'd think so.
But for anyone that didn't, we had New Zealand 11, South Africa 12. One for the purist, as a World Cup final often is.
I think South Africa have only scored tries in one of their four World Cup finals.
Sounds about right.
And that was against us last time. Yeah. Because I think they definitely didn't score one in 2007.
No, and they didn't
score this year. And 95, I think, was just kicks again.
Yeah, I think it was.
Who needs tries, you know?
Yeah. New Zealand only managed one, which by their standards is
pretty low
as well.
Could have been two, though.
Could have been two. We'll come on to. The weather, I think, feel like played a part. The weather was pretty terror.
It was also one of them. South Africa, they're not going to go and try and play New Zealand at their own game.
No, exactly. They're going to do what suited them throughout the whole tournament.
Beat teams up.
Do you know the best stat I've heard since, which isn't even a stat really, it's just like rewatching the game and remembering. So Sam Kane sent off in the 27th minute, which we'll come on to as well. South Africa then didn't score a point after the 33rd minute. So by 33 minutes, they had 12 points and they won 12-11. How mental is that?
That's crazy.
So for 47 minutes against 14 men.
Didn't even look like really scoring much.
They weren't even trying to score a point, mate. They weren't even trying to score
didn't
a point.
Need to,
they were
man.
Just trying to,
didn't
they were just trying to win penalties and batter New Zealand, which they did pretty well. There's a lot of talking points here.
I don't even know
where to start. Maybe let's start like semi-chronologically. So a couple of minutes in, drama straight away.
Shannon Frizzell took his seat.
A growth clear out on Mbanambi from Shannon Frizzell. Given a yellow card because it was deemed not to be deliberately targeting the leg, which I think is spot on. I don't think it was a red, do you?
No, I think you should always give players the benefit of the doubt, sadly. Well, not sadly, but I just think that's what you should do. It's what referees have done throughout all of time in rugby.
I think...
Especially in a final.
Yeah, I know some people would argue that the time it happens and the scale of the match shouldn't come into it, but you cannot even fathom giving a red card after 2 minutes for a clear out gone wrong. Shit from Mbanambi. Went off after 2 minutes. Dion Fury comes on. 38-year-old Dion Fury made his debut for the Springboks 2 years ago, playing semi out of position for 78 minutes and has an absolute storm. He was unreal. I can't believe. I think we spoke about in the last pod that they weren't going to call up a hooker.
It works out as well. You look who kicked all the points.
Exactly. It's crazy. I don't know.
Razzie's a genius, isn't he?
That's the thing.
Well, he's not a genius. He's just like, he's not scared to try things. I feel like too many coaches are a bit, you know. Well, not coaches, he's director of rugby, isn't he? A little bit.
Well, yeah,
too
let's give Jacques Nienaber some cred as well.
But I feel like he's just been completely overshadowed.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Where's he going, Leinster?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool. What a get for them.
I'm still surprised Sexton hasn't decided not to reverse his retirement and play another year.
There's time yet, mate.
I reckon he will still.
There's time yet. But you're 100% right. Like they do stuff, and I think to us, if it or to like the general rugby viewer, which we certainly are, it looks really weird and a bit rogue, and you're like, oh, what are they doing? Like, are they just doing things for the sake of it? And then, like, you hear, it's mostly Neon Arby you hear talk about it. You hear him talk about it, and it just makes, like, complete sense. You're like, oh, yeah, no, that's absolutely right.
One thing I was thinking is, like, when they make a decision and they decide that then maybe it wasn't right, they don't mind completely reversing out. And like, you're like, the start of the tournament one way and they ended back with Pfaff and Andre Pollard.
Yeah.
Well, with Eddie Jones, for example, he just stick to the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep going.
Plan like, B is to do plan A better.
Yeah.
Well, in the semi-final last weekend, LeBoc starts against England.
Hooked off after,
what was it, 27 minutes, I think it was.
Yeah.
And, like, to be fair, we actually have seen Eddie Jones do that before, but with probably
Luther Burrell's the one
success.
I always remember. Yeah. But like you said, when he did that was when we were being successful.
Yeah.
And he did it at Danny Kerr as well, but we won both of those games.
Yeah.
So.
But it just, like.
I think we did. I can't remember, actually. Because we only won the second series in Australia 2-1. So I think we did. I don't know, though.
Let's just say yes. No one's going to check, are they? And and taking your fly half, who's been unreal all tournament. Yes, his kicking's been put into question, but he's been unreal all tournament. Whipping him off after 27 minutes for a bloke that hasn't really played much rugby since coming back from injury seems on paper like, oh, that's a bit rash. And then you're like, well, actually, the weather's shit. No one wants to play any rugby today. England definitely aren't playing any rugby, so we don't need to. We'll just get the bloke on who knows how to kick.
Yeah, look at those kick and goal percentages.
Exactly. Like, it does make sense. And then, obviously, in the semi-final, he slots the winner. And he scores all the points in the final. Highest point scorer in this final. Highest point scorer in the final 2019. He just does a absolute job, doesn't he? Like,
fantastic.
Say whatever you want about him. The boy's got some bollocks on him. And he does whatever he needs to do.
He'll probably not play for Leicester for a month now.
I hope they have some time off, to be honest. I'm not sure they will, but I hope they have some time off.
I mean, the England players have got a couple of weeks. I'm not sure.
Well,
I know the Leicester ones do, because they put out a statement, I think.
Yeah, apparently, I listened to another rugby podcast, not another rugby podcast. Apparently, the Saris boys are straight back in. Apparently. I'll believe that when I see it, but...
Yeah. I could imagine some of them might want to be straight back in. Like, Theo Dan's not played any rugby, really, to be brutally honest.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
Max Malins hasn't played any rugby.
Yeah.
So when you've got so many and they've barely played, well, some of the Leicester lads, Ben Youngs has barely played.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
George Martin's got a knock, I think. Who else? Dan Cole.
How good was he in the semi-final, by the way?
It was one of them. I think lots of people had to hold their hands up and go, well, loads of people were questioning that selection, and they were like... Fair play.
Mate, I think we've, not to toot our own trumpet, I think we've spoke quite highly of him on here.
We have. We
mostly just say that he bangs boys, which is basically what he does.
Yeah.
He probably doesn't offer quite as much in the loose as like a Chesson, but he does bang boys. He absolutely bangs boys. I mean, forgive us, listeners, we will probably bounce all over the place here.
That's just what we do.
Because that is historically what we do, particularly when there's been so much to talk about. Back to the final, the red card, Sam Kane, 27 minutes, high shot on Jesse Creel, right? What do you think?
Put the bunker, take the bunker outside, put it in that bin and shut the lid.
Put the bunker in the bunker.
A couple of years ago, everyone was talking about how fantastic the rugby TMO system was compared to other sports, and now... It's like we were like jealous of their mess. You've got to have... Who's taking responsibility for the decisions?
No one.
No one, that's what I mean. And if the argument is, we'll take it out of the referee's hands to make it so they don't get abused, that clearly didn't work anyway.
No.
So,
no.
What's its purpose?
Is that the argument, or is the argument to save time?
Oh,
so
maybe.
So the viewer doesn't have to watch the whole process...
Yeah, but people like watching the process. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I agree.
That's why people would say they don't like the VAR in the football, because you don't know what's being said and what's happening. Basically, you've just made it more like the football.
Do you think it was a red or not?
I think in the world... This is the problem, I think.
In the world we're in.
Yeah.
Do you know my thing about it? I think it is a red card. But I think there's like at least three things that they could have used as a mitigating factor.
Fact, he's got a bit, he's a bit lower.
Creel's bent at the hips, so he's lower. He's changed direction at the last minute, and it's not like a dominant tackle.
Yeah,
like it's more of a, like he bangs.
Not danger.
It's like you could say that it's a high, it's a low risk of it. Creel didn't even have to go off for a HIA, which I always think is bullshit. But
yeah,
so therefore it's a low level of danger.
I would, yeah, I think you're right.
And I just think
also I think the poetic thing that Creel did, very similar tackle earlier in the tournament,
and it didn't even get looked at.
But
I just think again, like, actually, no, I was going to say this shouldn't come into play, but I think it actually should come into play. The fact it's a World Cup final.
You know what would be really interesting?
Yeah.
And I want to know. Would Barnes have sent him off? Like,
if Barnes had to make his
decision.
Do you know what? I actually think with Wayne Barnes, he might have done, because he's not afraid to make a big call. Although, I guess not sending him off would have been as big a call. Yeah, that is a good question.
Be interesting to know.
He'll probably answer that question one day.
Nigel Owens will speak this week. Yeah. Nigel Owens will do a review this week and see what he says.
Like I said, I just think there were at least three ways, in my uneducated opinion, to find mitigation there. And I think it's a World Cup final. Your sport, this has probably been the most, I don't know this for a fact, but I would imagine this has been the most watched World Cup of all time. I would imagine.
Yeah, I would think so. It's good time zones for everyone.
Like, the whole, like, picture like surrounding the World Cup at the moment is actually pretty positive. There hasn't been a red card since September. There was no red card at all in October.
It came up again in the...
I just don't think you need to do it. I think you can say, low level of danger, Creel change direction, yellow card stays at yellow.
It's like, if we speak to older players, they say refereeing's an art, not a science.
Yeah.
And the art on that decision, you would think, keep the game going.
Yeah.
And is the guy hurt? I know you shouldn't always take that into account. But if he's not hurt...
If you're getting a red card for banging someone in the face, that bloke surely needs a HIA.
Yeah, as well.
Surely. He didn't have to go off. So, for me, it was a bit frustrating. However, South Africa won the quarterfinal by a point. They won the semifinal by a point. They win the final by a point.
Incredible.
South Africa win this game if New Zealand got 23 blokes on the pitch. Like... They just do not know how to lose a game of rugby.
No.
Other than the one in Ireland against Ireland in the pool stage. They just, yes, they really know how to win, but they also just don't know how to lose these big games.
No, well, they're just good at game management, aren't they? Like, they never look under pressure, really. They're just always knowing exactly what they're doing.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
They go out with the belief they're going to win, I think.
I can't remember who it was by, so apologies for not giving credit, but like, someone tweeted, classic tweet, New Zealand wanted to win, South Africa needed to win.
Yeah.
And it does just feel like that. Like, it really, really does just mean, it just means more to them. Like, you watch all the stuff before the game, all the stuff that comes out after the game. It was the same in 2019 when we got panned by them in the final. You just realise that it's so much bigger to them than...
Yeah, if England won, would have come back and go, ooh, and it'd be over. Well, exactly. Them, it's like...
It's like...
Holiday coming in December.
Well, it completely changes the whole like political landscape of the country than winning a rugby tournament. Whereas here, it's like it would probably get on the back page.
Yeah.
Unless like Haaland scored a hat trick that day. And then it would be
classic girl.
One page in. So during the game, I think I wanted New Zealand to win. And then as soon as South Africa won, I was like, actually, no, I'm really happy. Like, that's fine.
I think that was the way a lot of people were thinking about it, to be honest.
I also rewatched Invictus the day after as well, just to reinforce that love.
I think that's one of the most shared memes we've ever done. This Matt Damon has won more World Cups than Ireland down the years. It's a good film, to be fair.
It is good. It is good. The only thing that didn't hold up quite as well is the actual rugby in it.
Yeah,
I have this memory of the rugby being done quite well, and it's just terrible. Like there's some of the techers.
Better than the Bollywood.
What Clint Eastwood's son, what's his name? Someone Eastwood, plays Joel Stransky, and his kicking form is absolutely abysmal.
I saw him in a comedy recently. I can't remember what it was.
Who? Eastwood's son?
Yeah.
He's all right.
It was with Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good, to be fair. He might have been better at a comedy than playing rugby.
He's good in the film, and his accent's not horrendous. I don't have a... deep knowledge
didn't
of how
Matt Damon like live with Francois Pienaar for a month or something like that.
That was another thing I thought. Matt Damon's very good. Morgan Freeman's is just terrible. He's just
he's just Morgan Freeman.
He's just doing Morgan Freeman and then rolling his R's like every time he has to say an R. He's like, my name's but Morgan Freeman.
I don't think they could have cast anyone else, though.
Oh, it was perfect casting. He just can't do the voice, but you don't need
Ignore
to.
Ignore
that. He captured the spirit.
Spirit. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that in a while. I might watch it when I go home.
It's good, mate. It's worth a watch. Worth a watch. But, like we were saying, like obviously this win isn't as big as 95. Like 95, there was a lot going on in 95. And it might not even be as big as 2019 because first black captain to lift the trophy, et cetera, et cetera.
I guess for his sort of, like, you know, lineage and stuff, and he's going to be remembered now as great captain.
All-time greatest captain for me?
Yeah, we did a poll and he came out top.
Yes,
Mark Johnson came second, which is, I think, just a bit English.
That tells you a bit about your viewership.
Richie McCaw third, John Eales fourth.
McCaw behind Johnson, that's a shambles.
It's even Eales.
It's McCaw or Khaleesi.
Or Sam Warburton, yeah.
Or Sam Gayton. Yeah, but so some other talking points. The disallowed try. So again,
I mean, the TMO needs to get back on his box and get posted back to Wales.
I don't disagree with you, mate.
The TMO, however, should be only talk when he's talked to a little bit. I'm starting to think.
I get that, right? But what is like the better outcome?
If you were playing on a Sunday and someone did a penalty penalty offence against you,
yeah.
You've slightly knocked it on but managed to get it up and play.
Yeah.
The ref would probably just say, go on, play.
Yeah, but it's not a Sunday.
But it's not meant to be a science, because if you treat it like a science, every game we're going to be looking at every incident and the referees are going to get absolutely, like, the Etzebeth forearm and everything. People are looking at every incident and you've got no, I just missed it because the TMO should get it.
But do you
the TMO has bias? He can just ignore things.
But what do you think's better?
Try should have been given.
So you think a try that shouldn't be a try is given?
Yeah, should have been.
Than the try being disallowed by a TMO like after the fact.
Both had offences. Both cancelled each other out. Play on.
Let the
boys
play.
Try didn't come from that incident, really.
No, it was a few phases later. Which
that's
is
what I mean. Yeah, I think let's just say like, it didn't feel like. If he didn't knock it on and the guy hadn't pulled his arm and resulted in the knock on, they would have just played.
Yeah.
I know it's controversial, but that's just what I think.
Mate, I think it's a view shared by a lot of people. I'm just.
Because, like, the TMO just got involved so much, and I think it was annoying quite a lot of people, to be honest. Looking on Twitter and looking at fans and gauging what people are saying in rugby clubs, that's. Just the vibe I get. Not that they care about that very much.
Do you think there's something in the fact that there... It was Tom Foley, wasn't it, in the box?
Yeah.
Do you think there's something in the fact that him and Wayne Barnes are so, like, quote, so good at working together that he feels more inclined to get involved more of the time?
Probably. They thought they were the best in the world, I think.
I think they... I mean, they probably are. That's why they've been given the World Cup final.
Yeah, but if you're looking at every single incident you spot, you're going to miss one and you're going to look like an idiot.
So you think that's just a let the boys play situation?
Let the boys play?
Yeah.
What I'd say is if it directly resulted in the try, let's say they were 5 yards out and he knocked it on, then played the pass and they scored.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that?
Yeah. I think it was...
Good 20, 30 seconds.
It was like 5 or 6 phases.
Five or six phases? Man, I've got my own view on law changes, but maybe they should have a... I don't know. I don't think... Again, Wayne Barnes wasn't going to go and look at it.
Well, he even said on the field of play, he said, no knock on, I'm happy, let's go. Like, as in, like, when the South Africa players were questioning it...
You're right. I reckon if the TMO and the ref aren't as tight-knit, they're not as inclined to just... But in all the time.
Yeah. Like if that's like.
Barnes didn't say try yes or no or try.
No.
You just give the try.
Yeah. Hell of a try as well.
That's what I mean though. That's
what
like.
A break. However, what I would say is the Barrett try.
If anything, a penalty offence is worse than a knock on.
The Barrett try actually did come like fairly quickly after that.
Yeah, it did.
So like, I'm not sure it's as simple as saying like.
Didn't you miss the conversion on that one?
Yeah. So. I'm not sure it's as simple as saying like. Oh, New Zealand should have had 5 or 7 extra points.
Because
if they score that try.
Well, it's a different game, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And maybe it forces South Africa to do something different, potentially, and all that. But I think...
I'm not someone who wants loads of tries all the time, but like in a game so few tries...
And it was such a nice one as well. It was such a good break. I don't think I appreciated how like rapid Moonga was.
No.
He like, didn't get... Like, wasn't a hand on him as he went... Was it Creel he went round?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's been defending that like outside channel unbelievably. Incredibly. And he literally didn't get a hand on him. And would have been class for Ann Smith as well to go out on a try as well, but hey-ho.
It must have been almost on the border. Because, like, how far can you go back to disallow a try?
Well, that's the thing. So I was actually looking that up a little bit. So I think it's two phases. But the kind of the grey area there is that's what the referee can ask for. But the referee didn't ask for anything. Like you're saying, the TMO just interjected and said, we've got a knock-on we need to look at. Whereas I think if Wayne Barnes goes, can we check that knock-on 6 phases ago, whatever it was, I don't think they can. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably a grey area that needs clarified because it just wasn't right. It just didn't feel right.
However, I also think the pass for the actual try was forward as well. So,
but that's been a major problem in this tournament as well, do you not think? That sometimes the TMOs decide they're going to look at a forward pass on a try and sometimes not.
Yeah. Mate, speaking of forward passes...
A lot of times during the tournament, the, let's just say, lower nations felt like they were getting shafted.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of forward passes, we'll come on to the third and fourth. Argentina's try in the third and fourth.
It was flat, mate. It was flat pass.
That has literally gone 2.5 meters forward.
I love when there's a line there so you can always see it.
And it's like, but it's the momentum. It's not actually if the ball goes forward. No. That's forward out the hands by about 2.5 meters.
Do you think there's been a thing said not to look at them? It's like they've been trying to give tries, but then in this World Cup situation, they've not. Because there's been a lot of tries where... You've been like, whoa, that looked a bit forward. And they don't even check it. They'll just say, it's flat.
Yeah, exactly.
And the TMO then doesn't check.
They'll go, no, that's good for me.
They respect the ref's decision. Yeah.
But they did check the one in the final, like, many, many times. Because it was a difficult one. Because, like, one angle looked like it went backwards, then bounced forwards. Another angle looked like it went forwards out the hands.
Is this not the thing with the TMO seeking perfection and then it just comes up short?
Quite possibly.
A bit of tiny temper on in here now.
Yeah, for those that can't hear, Written in the Stars has just come on in the Wetherspoons that we're recording in. Like, absolutely.
Last time I heard this in Newcastle was probably like 2011 in Tiger.
Huge.
Good times.
But I think ultimately, when it comes down to it, I do think this win was, in the wise words of Tiny Temper, written in the stars of South Africa.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, terrible. Right, let's just go through South Africa and just say how good everyone is. Arenza on the wing. Really good player. La 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 la. His tackle on Rico Ioane in the corner was absolutely outrageous. As soon as Ioane caught that, I was like, that's a try. Like, there's no way anyone can stop Ioane going out round the outside.
You had a better chance, do you not think, if you try to step?
To step in. Yeah. But he's Rico Ioane, so he's like, well, I'm absolutely rapid.
Yeah.
And I've got 35 metres of space.
Do you reckon Johnny Sexton was laughing at his telly?
I hope so. But laughing from Ireland.
Enjoy your playing home.
Yeah. Enjoy playing home with your silver medal that I'll never get.
You never know. Four more years.
I just could not believe he made that tackle. I was watching it with...
They were both there, weren't they?
Yeah, so Colby then followed up and...
Did a good job at INA of actually... Didn't you not sort of put it back against one of the South Africans to go out for their line-out? I think you did.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
But the New Zealand lineout was all over the shop, so it didn't matter.
It was.
It was the conditions, I think. Everyone's lineout was all over the shop.
But I just could not believe he made that tackle.
No, it was good.
It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
It's one of them. In hindsight, you could say, oh, could he have stepped? But like you say, he's Rico Ioane.
Yeah. When has he ever been stopped, like, from in that situation? No. It just doesn't happen, does it?
He's done such a good transition, hasn't he, from his early career on the wing to being a centre.
He's a crazy.
It's quite hard to do.
I think he's a crazy, crazy good 13. I think he's class.
I wish we had him. Joe Marchant's like a wish.com version. I love Joe Marchant. I'm just joking.
No, but you're right, though.
I am right. But yeah. If Joe Marchant's a good player, he's a fantastic elite player.
And speaking of very good 13s, Jesse Creel, man. Jesus Christ. So Lacanio Allen was probably their player in the tournament 4 years ago.
Yeah,
potentially. He was unbelievable.
He got called up.
But he's like, he came back from like a real bad knee injury.
Why didn't they call up a hooker then?
What?
I just like him around the place. Yeah,
exactly.
Nice fella.
Mate, I think that was actually a part of
nice
it.
Nice fella.
But so you lose like arguably your best ever 13. So then Jesse Creel comes in, who's shredded to the gills, looks $1 million, and just steps up in every way possible. Like, he was just unbelievable all tournament. Played every minute of the final. I think he played every minute most game. Just ridiculous. Absolute engine.
You just look at the physiques of those South Africans. It's crazy.
Him and Dielen, they're like made of stone, aren't they?
Crazy. Well, I'll tell you who was in contention for the dick of the tournament for me.
Yeah.
And I felt like he was loving every minute of playing that role. Willy LaRue.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the whole tournament.
Yeah, little shit ass.
I can't remember him being such a shit ass as he was this tournament. Like, every game.
I think...
He just loved it.
Yeah, he did love it. And
he's in the swan song and he just wanted to go out on his sword.
I think it's that sort of South African passion where another player comes off as, like, aggression. Whereas he's just probably not that aggressive, so just has to, like, be a bit of a shit ass instead.
But I love it, though. I love a shit ass.
His celebration... The aerial view of his celebration against England is just amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. Actually, yeah, on that.
I'm going to decide Wasps go and bust was entirely Willy LaRue's fault now. Putting it entirely down to him and that other All Black fly off. It was a bit crap. Good player, but crap for them.
Sopawanga.
Yeah.
And Fekete as well, they had him as well. Do you think... So what for me, with how England behaved during a rugby game, right, and I love
fair enough,
I have no issue with it.
But Ben Earl.
Yeah, like all the micro celebrations.
Remember the not straight lineup?
Yeah.
That was my favourite, I think.
And like a tiny, like unpressurized knock on and like everyone's going mental. If a player then aggressively celebrates when they've won a World Cup semi final, regardless of whether they do it in your face or whatever, you can't try and scrap the bloke.
You can.
I mean,
entertainment-wise, I love it.
But it's also like, lads,
great stories for us.
Have a look in the mirror. You cannot do like, you can't have it both ways. I just think, and I know everyone's like, yeah, but after the final whistle's gone, it's like, right, right, right. It's like, no. You can't wind people up and be a dick all game and then be annoyed when someone does it when they win. You can't.
Oh, we can, and we will.
Well, we are.
And we'll continue to.
We are English, so therefore we can. But yeah, anyway, that was by the by. Mate, you know Damien Wilhelmse?
Isn't he like a double World Cup winner at like 25?
He's 25 years old.
What a prick.
I thought he was like 32. I thought this was like his swan song.
The funny thing about the 2019 World Cup, at the start he was playing for Saracens. He signed a short-term deal.
Yeah.
Did he play like one game or something and then he got called up?
He's proper. He's such a good player as well. I think he actually gets a bit overlooked in this team.
Of course he does.
Which is understandable with the other names you've got in there, but I think he is unbelievable. He could have 4 World Cups, mate.
He could do.
Can you imagine?
They have a couple of players who get overlooked, I think, because it's the big names like the Etzebeth, the Khaleesi's, the Faf, the Handres.
Peter Steph-Tatoy, Jesus. What was it, 28 tackles?
Yeah, he was fantastic.
28 tackles and like 27 and a half of those were absolutely melting people as well. Well, mostly melting Geordie Barrett, to be fair.
Who I think was one of my players of the tournaments as well, Geordie Barrett. But I reckon he was told, you get him.
Yeah.
You sack him. And you sack him.
But again, like, I think that's really clever from South Africa because Barrett has been absolute class all tournament.
I mean, he's 20 tackles against someone in the semis.
I think he's the best...
Argentina. No, it must have been a quarter, I'm thinking of, because the semi was not even a match.
I think him and... Who do I think is better?
Well, him or Creel?
No, I was going to say, I think him and Bundiaki are potentially the best 12s in the world.
He's not playing 13?
No. Ioane's both, don't
you? Oh, yeah. Playing both.
But
Manu too laggy.
No. I don't know. No. Do I like
Owen Farrell?
I think Barron might be better than Aki. There's a shout for you.
All round game.
I think he offers a lot more, yeah.
Yeah.
He's 6'5".
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fucking massive.
Yeah.
I think that's why they just sent.
He's like a hybrid, isn't he? Peter Scott Steph. And Bowden yeah. put together.
Yeah. Yeah, he really is. Also, Scott Barrett is class as well.
I'll tell you something interesting. Zinzan Brook picked his like all time 15, like 3 or 4 years ago. He picked Barrett at fly off.
Bowden.
Yeah, ahead of Dan Carter. Didn't pick McCaw. I think he was just after some clicks.
Just get some clicks.
For a betting website. They probably said, you know, just mix it up.
Who else is really good? Faff was unbelievable.
I think he's been so bang average all tournament as well, which is just fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just so clever from Erasmus and Nienaber.
You just keep
why would you not pick Ryan Ack? Like, obviously, Faf came in as like the number one, has been really good. But then Ryan Ack's been unbelievable all tournament. And then he gets to the final and you're like, you're actually not going to be in the squad, mate.
At all.
At all. You
know what? The 7-1 never even got mentioned that much during the final.
Well, they bought LaRue on after 66 minutes and all the other backs played the whole game. Well, no, actually, Colby had a little rest after 73 because he got the other card.
I guess the problem is they probably think, well, you know what? We're just going to win the game up front. The backs aren't actually going to do very much.
They don't
replace them.
No, the backs need to defend, which they did really well.
What's your thoughts on replacements? Do you think you should have 7 or do you think you should try and make it a game where players actually have to play a whole game? I think it would benefit the game, but I think World Rugby is so health conscious at the minute because of the impending lawsuits and etc.
And that's the thing. Theoretically, that would be nice, but
players wouldn't get smaller overnight, which I guess is the aim. You're aiming to shrink players.
But also, do we want that? Do we want to become rugby league, where all the players just look the same? Like we don't really, do we?
No.
I don't. And also, you'd have to have a condition that says you can be subbed if you're injured.
And then people would just say,
I've got my hammy's gone.
Can you remember when the French player went off for an HIA after he was holding his leg?
Yeah, yeah.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
Well, Mbanambi was like torn his ACL and was put down as a tactical replacement after 4 minutes so that he could come back on.
Is that what it's been?
Yeah, yeah.
ACL?
Well, I don't know, but I'm never let the truth ruin a good story, you know?
That's a good point. But
they did that so that if hypothetically he improved over the next hour and Farid got injured, Mbanambi could go back on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is just like it's just genius. Like again, obviously I'm not an international rugby coach, but there's no way I'd even consider doing that. If like I'd seen my bloke, drastically snap his ACL, never let a truth ruin a good story. There's no way I'd think in my head, oh yeah, let's put that down as a tactical replacement.
Just in case he's
all
right.
Just in case. Like, it's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. What else to say on this? Oxenche, best bloke in the world, potentially?
Yeah, I mean, he was in everyone's team at the tournament.
Is there a man that is built for scrummaging? Has there ever been a man built for scrummaging more than Oxenche?
He just puts nutrition in the bin, doesn't he?
He is a... Well, funny you should say that, right? So... My girlfriend's really got into rugby over the World Cup, which is great news for me. Really good news.
Mine has avoided it at all costs. which is bad news for me.
You're too far down the road, mate. You're too far down the road. But he came on after whatever it was, 50 odd minutes, and he like waddles onto the pitch, for want of a better phrase. And I just think he looks
waddle waddle.
He just looks hilarious. He's got like the tiniest little sternum ever. He's just tiny, but stacked. And Liv was like,
what's he gonna do?
Liv was like, oh, look at this guy. He's like, how's he a professional athlete? And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, oh, he's just like short and pretty fat. And I said, I bet you he's got a six pack. And she was like, no way. So then she
was the reveal come.
She took the hit in the search history. She googled Oxenche topless, confirmed he's got a six pack.
It's crazy.
It's mental, isn't it? It's meant to be.
It should be illegal.
Like, he is just built for it. He's absolutely built for it.
Did you see Woolworths in South Africa, rest in peace, UK Woolworths, have given like free cake for a year?
Really?
Because he
celebrate caramel cheesecake he was going to celebrate with, I think he said, didn't he? What bloke.
You don't win salad, he scrums a salad.
I actually thought New Zealand scrummed really, really well, by the way.
They did?
Like, ridiculously well. They were some of the most sort of aesthetically pleasing scrums in the whole tournament, where you knew that they were just tearing into each other.
I think Barnes did a good job of getting it going.
Agreed. And just like...
This is the thing, I thought Wayne Barnes had a really good game and yet got so much stick.
Yeah, but mate, it's a World Cup final. It's a World Cup final in which New Zealand have lost.
Yeah, but the decisions they were most unhappy about weren't his. That's what I mean.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
That's what I don't get about this bunker thing. Like, I thought it would take pressure off, but people don't seem to understand that.
Yeah, very true. Have you got much else to say? That's the thing, that there's loads of talking points, but in terms of rugby, I thought New Zealand played really, really well. I thought they were class. I have no idea how they lost this game.
No, I thought they were the better side for the majority of it, even with 14 men.
More possession, more territory, more metres, more offloads, more defenders beaten, more line breaks.
Went to the corner once maybe when they should have taken the points.
Yeah, potentially.
Missed a couple of kicks, South Africa. I think South Africa missed one in the second half. Did they not take one shot? I think they did. I think he took one shot.
Yeah, I think he did miss one. Yeah, I think you're right. So he's 4 out of 5, which is...
But I think they were still ahead when he missed that shot, obviously. Yeah. So...
Well, yeah, like I said, they scored all their points after 33 minutes and that was it, which is wild. Yeah, like I say, no idea how...
My favourite rugby matches, contrary to most people, is both teams scoring under 20 points. I'm not a... There seems to be this opinion in among some people in the game that if we get the game to have 12 tries in, people would want to watch it more. When there's 10 people turn up to watch the sevens.
I think as long as there is...
As long as the game's competitive.
Yeah, the problem. As long as there is tension going into the last 15 minutes, it's a good game. For me, it's a good game of rugby. Even if it's 0-0 with 15 minutes to go, I'm invested. If it's 40-40 with 10 minutes to go, I'm invested as well. It's just when there's like these like blowouts, that's my issue.
That's always the problem with the Premiership is at the minute, isn't it? Like, there's too many... Yeah, one week, one team gets blown out. The next week, another team gets blown out. There's no consistency in selection in the Prem either.
Well, I'm sure that will settle down when everyone's back from the World Cup.
It's under 100 days until the Six Nations met, so is not it? Really. Oh, yeah,
I'd love to see it. Love to see it. Well, talking of Six Nations, let's mention England. Friday night, another fairly tense game in the end. Third and fourth playoff, England 26, Argentina 23. I was chatting with Liv's dad, actually, who's another rugby fan, and he was
shout out.
And he loves his rugby, and he was asking like, does anyone want to play this game? And I was like, I think some of the young lads do, but generally no one really wants to play this game. But you definitely don't want to lose this game.
I mean, it's actually a good way. I think winning it's actually going to prove a good thing for both. 100%. To be honest,
I think it makes England's campaign, I think, a genuine success. And it leaves Argentina, unfortunately, really disappointed. Which is silly, because they've come fourth in the World Cup, which is pretty decent. They've come above France and above Ireland. So they've done really well. But it does just leave you disappointed. Like, they were crying at full time, and like they looked devastated. I think partly that is because it's England. They hate England. But however, are England good at rugby again? Have we done it? Are we all right now?
I don't know.
Neither do I. I'll tell you who is good at rugby. Owen Farrell, mate.
He's pretty good.
He's really good. He's really good. Do you reckon he's got another World Cup in him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, sadly for Owen, I think the fan base's opinion of him is only going in one direction.
You're a man with your finger on the pulse and that kind of thing. Do you get the sense that that is from English people as well?
I think it is now. I don't think it used to be, but I think it's getting more and more. I think people just... When you have someone playing in one position for so long, such a prominent position, people are going to get bored. Like, he's been fly off for over a decade.
Yeah.
basically undisturbed, apart from maybe Ford.
Apart from when he's played 12 with Ford,
But like when I said, I think Eddie Jones had only give one fly half his debut, and it was Smith after about 7 years in charge.
Yeah, yeah. And now, for me, the whole Smith thing's up in the air as well. For me, now.
I don't know what you do with him.
I don't think he's like the next incumbent number 10 necessarily.
Finn Smith for me.
Finn Smith's class. I mean, it's very like present thinking. Jamie Shilcock had an absolute stormer at the weekend for Leicester.
I feel like
controlled the game beautifully, kicked really well.
I feel
really
like Gregor Townsend's camped out on Finn Smith's lawn with like a placard saying Finn for Scotland.
Finn for Finn.
Yeah, because Finn's not. I don't think Finn's got another World Cup in him.
No, I don't think so either. I've quite enjoyed the little Smith at 15 experiment.
Have you?
I don't mind it at all, mate. Like, at all.
I don't mind it, to be honest.
I think you need Freddie Stewart on the pitch. But there's no reason he can't play 14 for me.
Sir Clives wants to play him inside centre.
Yeah, of course he does.
I think he just thinks he looks a bit similar to Will Greenwood.
Yeah, yeah. For God's sake. Why would you play him at 12, you mug?
The only thing I say about that is you... You know, like, I feel like you'll say, oh, you're playing people in the wrong positions. And he's like, just whack Freddie at 12. You know, like, you'll have a go at other people for doing it.
Yeah. But I definitely think there's more scope in this Smith at 15 thing.
Do you not think the problem we're having, this is mirroring the start of Danny Cipriani's career for England. Played amazing at fly half. Johnny comes back, gets ousted. Thrown at 15, has one or two decent games, and then you don't have a position anymore, and you just sort of float around for 10 or so years. And then you go, you date. Oh, he's quite happy with his dating. Well, he might date a couple of clubs,
which you kind of say in jest. But my serious response to that is, I do think Marcus Smith is a lot more
grounded,
level-headed, probably less of a knob.
We have seen these things though before, where once players don't have a position and you start shifting them around, it becomes a bit harder, I think. Like,
but for me, I would see it as like...
Probably Daly's an example. Yeah. He's had a very successful England career.
Yeah, yeah. Austin Healey back in the day.
The Leicester Lip.
But like, but I don't see it as like, oh, where can we fit him in? I see it more along the lines of, and I'm not comparing him to Beauden Barrett because he's not as good as Beauden Barrett. I'm comparing it to... He's not going to be our 10, but let's just make him our 15 and see how he goes.
You know what? There's not much choice, to be honest.
It's Stewart. I think you need Stewart on the pitch. But again, you don't need Stewart.
A couple of years ago, people were saying the lad from Bath, but I haven't seen him develop as much. What's it called?
De Glanville.
Yeah. I haven't seen enough.
He's a good player, but...
Newcastle have the next 15, I think. Redshaw,
yeah.
But he's Stewart's
21.
He might be 4 years from playing for England.
How old is Freddie Stewart? Like 21, 22 or something? Let's have a look.
I don't know if I agree with you. I think I'd have Arundel on one wing, Rad one on the other, and Stewart at the back. But you could have Smith on the bench covering the whole back division, Ali.
He could just be the 23rd man. Yeah, 22 Freddie Stewart is fine.
I think the wingers is...
Well, Arundel.
We only picked wingers to chase rather than to actually play any rugby.
Arundel didn't get past the ball in the third and fourth.
Well, he wasn't meant to get it. He was meant to chase, and he got a load of grief from Farrell in training for not chasing. And he got grief in the game for not chasing because you could hear it on the ref mic. He was always the only player's name you heard him say. I think you heard him say Henry three times.
Henry. Did you see he got sent to the World Rugby Awards with Farrah? Did you see that?
Well, Aaron.
As the England representation.
Do you reckon they did that intentionally?
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, bit of PR. But to be fair, mate, I know he's like unreal when he gets the ball. He is a bit all over the place off the ball. And I know you've got to like have the experience to get the experience.
Well, it's because Radwan should have been in the squad, not Arundel. Radwan's a better...
Arundel's a
rugby player.
Radwan's probably a better... Rugby player and still offers that thing. I think Arundel's got a bright future in an England shirt, but
he
needs so much coaching, mate. He's positionally not very good. He's not that good under the high ball.
It reminds me of a 21-year-old Johnny May.
Really. Yeah. And obviously, shout out Johnny May, who's announced his retirement. he's gone on to become one of England's greatest ever wingers.
Yeah, second top scorer, fantastic player.
Henry Arnold could be capable of the same because he's stronger than Johnny May. He's up there pace-wise. So he's got it all going for him. But I think this whole like narrative of like it's been a shambles that he hasn't played, I don't think's I don't think it's right because he hasn't, other than scoring like a worldy try against Australia with his first touch and five against Chile, four of which were walk-ins, he hasn't done much.
I guess the only thing you can say against Borthwick really at the moment is two players that he called in, Mitchell and Underhill, look better than the players he called up originally.
Oh, I was so excited watching Sam Underhill bat, mate. I was so excited.
I know Ben Earl's played well at number eight, but Vunipola was a disaster.
He was a shambles, yeah, absolute shambles. He
the only number eight.
If we're being blunt, Billy Vunipola lost us the semi-final. If we're being blunt, he was terrible. Sorry, Bill.
I liked it when he came on for 2 minutes and knocked it on, and went back off.
Disastrous, mate.
He's been an amazing player as well, but we all knew he was sort of out of form coming back from an injury.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have been selected. What did he show on the training ground to make, apart from being Steve's Bezzy pal from Saracens, did he show?
Yeah, probably not much more than that, mate. Do you think our back row now should be Curry, Underhill, Earl and just let them fly?
That's how I'd start the Six Nations.
I really hope so.
Because who else could you have to come in?
Ludlam,
Mercer. Willis.
Mercer.
Ludlam was apparently off, though, so I wouldn't even bother.
Yeah, I saw that. And maybe Sinclair.
Yeah, but we've got less choice there.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Cole would still probably be in
there. I just could not believe how good Sam Underhill was. It was so good to see him back, just smashing everyone.
Yeah.
He's like our Peter Steph, isn't he?
Yeah, he was incredible.
He was so good.
But, like, he picked Max Malins. Probably seemed like he decided he didn't fancy him.
Yeah. Which, again, like, I think he's a really...
Pick Jack Walker.
A really classy player.
Didn't fancy him at all.
Well, so... We should mention Theo Dan, really.
Yeah, yeah. Future.
What a boy. He obviously, like, slipped off that tackle for Carreras' try, and then the next play, charge down, try, and then smash him on the back of the head just for the sake of it. Which I wasn't a huge fan of.
Keeping the head with the Newcastle bias, do you think Jack Walker should have been in the squad ahead of Blaymire?
I think Blaymire suffered a little bit last season from chopping around from back row to hooker.
Probably.
I don't think that helps.
I don't know, but if I'm looking for someone to make an impact in the last 10-15 minutes, because he was very unlikely he was ever going to start a game.
But also, was it like...
Because even if the other two were injured, you could have called up someone else.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
And then you could have called up, I don't know, someone like... I've suddenly forgot all hookers.
Harry Thacker, McGuigan.
McGuigan's a good shout as well. He'd probably be on my list of best players to never get a cap, McGuigan.
He's very good, yeah.
Because there's not many really good players don't get at least one.
The thing in that position for this World Cup was Jamie George is basically going to play 80 minutes every game. Every important game, basically. So, like, it doesn't really matter. Do you know what I mean? Unless there's injuries, yeah, but then you call someone up anyway. It's the kind of thing where if Jamie George got injured and they called Blaymire up, you could see Blaymire starting and still having Theo down on the bench. You could, kind of like Mitchell, like not being in the squad to starting. You could kind of see it going that way, but luckily Jamie George didn't get injured. So, a couple of great lineouts from him, by the way, in the semi-final. Going back a week, but that was quite amusing. From Jamie George, he did the one that went sideways and the one that went straight up in the air.
It's not very unlike him, mind.
It
but
is.
Yeah.
I think the weather was just hanging, wasn't it? Well, that's probably enough chat on a third and fourth play, obviously. We probably wouldn't have spoken about quite that much if it wasn't England. Right, mate. We've got a bit to do. We're already 50 minutes in.
Where are we firing?
Shall we just sort of mention any players that we can think of that are retiring and just say well done on a stellar career to those that had them? Courtney Laws. You're a legend, mate.
Surprised by that one.
Are you actually?
I think so. I think he could have still had a lot to give for another 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, but
I guess maybe he's just, I think he's, yeah. Probably just why drag it out? That was England's problem last time. Yeah. And the players are taking... Because look who's retired. I reckon all three... I reckon both of them would have still picked them in the Six Nations. And they'd have been like, why?
Probably. Why? That's actually a good shout.
We're not even playing very well.
Laws, Youngs, May.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ben Spencer could have 12 tries and Ben Youngs would still be in the squad.
Again, another tangent. I think Finn Russell playing for Bath is going to get Ben Spencer in England call up.
It probably will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last call up was World Cup final.
World Cup final in 2019. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, shout out to those guys. I mean, people have said better things than we can say about them. I've always sang my praises for Johnny May, with a couple of exceptions when he's been picked on. I don't think he should have been.
It's just been the last year, really. Apart from before that, he's been one of the best in the world. Anyone who watches the Premiership would be confused how he was still in that England squad.
I think he is.
But a professional, an athlete. Like they said, the winger's job was just to chase. So in hindsight, that was something you could still really do. But defensively, he's actually quite good now.
He must be one of the players that's like made, that has like heightened their ceiling the most. Do you know what I mean? That has made the most out of their potential.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because he was a shambles to start with. He didn't know what he was doing. He just would run really quick.
That's what I mean. Like that's why it's a good parallel to Arundel, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, true. So yeah, shout out to those lads. There's players from all over the place retiring. We can't keep up with
it. Same with Ben Youngs. As people think he's been around for too long, but you know, he turned up and he always tried his best and he had some really good games. I think he had like a period, but I think like even during the Six Nations, I thought he looked quite good.
I agree. He's going out for me at like a good time. I think if he played more of a part in this World Cup, I'd have been a bit frustrated. But the role he's played of just like overseeing everyone else and being a good person in that squad, I think it's been great.
Danny Kerr's going to play on.
He is, mate. Well, he's on 96 caps, isn't he?
Nah, that's what he's. Is that what he wants?
I think if he gets picked for the Six Nations, he'll get to 100, injury permitting. I think that's what he wants. I think he'll do the Six Nations, then I think he'll go.
I think we're touring New Zealand next summer. I wouldn't fancy that.
Oh, Jesus. Well, would we be, if we'd beaten South Africa in the semi, would we be in New Zealand? No,
no.
We'd have got dicked.
Absolutely not.
We'd have got absolutely dicked. Let's bash through the World Rugby Awards and talk about whether we agree or disagree. So, Player of the Year for starters, Ardie Surveyor. Is it fairly hard to disagree with that?
I think it's fairly hard. I think he would probably... If you look at every single game, his performance was always up there. Like, Etzebeth against England was a bit shit, I thought.
Yeah, got dragged off after 45 minutes.
Who else was up? Bundy was great every game, but, you know, they early had to go home early.
But so, I guess that's the thing that's worth saying. This is the men's player of the year. This isn't the player of the tournament. So, this is for everything that's happened all year. So, I guess that's probably why it hasn't gone to Etzebeth, because it's not. If it was based on the World Cup, you'd probably give it to Etzebeth because they won. But Sarvea has played of the games he was selected in. He's played every single minute for the All Blacks this season.
He's their best player, isn't he?
Crazy,
really?
Isn't it? Crazy.
Yeah, I think he was the one. Like you say, Bundy's had an incredible World Cup. I think he had a decent Six Nations, but like you say, I think Surveyor's the main man every time they play.
And I think they extended the deadline till like after the World Cup final, so that did come into play. But once you do that, you can't really have someone that goes out in the quarter final, I don't think. So you can't have Aki. You can't, like, Dupont is obviously amazing, but he's not been the best player in the world this year.
Been a bit gobby recently.
Dupont.
Big Antoine.
Yeah. I don't think France.
He's got a voice, hasn't he?
I don't think France have reacted greatly to them going out.
It's French,
isn't
it?
You know they didn't send any representatives to the awards. Bear in mind they had people up for awards. No one, apart from President Macron, no one went. Which I think I think that's a shambles, mate. I think that's a shit look. But anyway, who else do we have?
We need pantomime villains though, and they can be our villain if they want.
I didn't think it would be Dupont. Farrell was coach of the year.
Like they said, when he hurt his eye, it's like the Bond villain origin story.
Yeah, true. Farrell coach of the year. I mean, they were number one in the world. They went 17 matches unbeaten. They won a Grand Slam. I mean, yeah. I don't think you can argue too much with it. Again, assuming it's based on the whole year.
Yeah.
If it's the World Cup, obviously it would be Nienaber, but it's not, so.
I feel like if you had held the awards in 2 weeks' time.
It might be Nienaber, yeah.
Why are they so close after? It's just because everyone's there already, I guess.
I think so. They're just all, yeah, exactly, yeah. I think it is literally to say, and it is the end of the season, isn't it? So.
Yeah, I think it's a bit later on a normal year.
Talea got breakthrough player of the year. He was a joke in that final, by the way.
That's what you need. Like, he's an example. I think people were using him as an example to, like, the England wingers.
Come off your wing. 100%. Like, go and make something happen. Don't just wait to get the ball. Because Arundel's strong enough to work it. He's like Jack Noll used to do it really well for England. Like, I think I heard Flatman talking about it. Those tired Argentinian defenders would not want Arundel to pop up around the breakdown and to like pick the ball up and step inside because they'd be fucked and he'd just do them. And that like Talea just made so many meters doing that, beat so many defenders.
Even if he just came like right around and came off like the blind side of a Farrell or something like that.
Just do something rather than just stand there. But he is only 17 or whatever, so he'll get there. What else happened?
This year.
Say again.
He's going to be playing with Sia Khaleesi. Yeah, this year. That'll be interesting.
That will be interesting. Yeah, for Racing, right?
Because he's got a year of dispensation, so he can have a year out.
Yeah, and still play.
Interesting to see where he rocks up when he comes back. Probably Saracens.
Oh, I hope not. Where would he fit in? Newcastle? Ride around on one wing, Arundel?
We've got Carreras, mate.
If Newcastle still exists. Carreras is Arundel at 15. Rad one on the wing, one wing, Carreras on the other.
Bit fierce.
Gas.
Got Saints written on it.
Yeah, that'd be quite a nice fit. Yeah.
Quinns, maybe?
Also a nice fit. And probably might be quite attractive to London, potentially.
Yeah. London, not London Irish. Wasps and Kent?
Yeah, Wasp and Kent, potentially. That'd be good. I think that was about it. Did Ireland get Team of the Year? I can't actually remember.
I didn't admit, I was so over rugby, I didn't even watch it.
Yeah.
I was following on Twitter to see who won things.
It was quite hard to get excited about it once the World Cup final had been played. It was like, okay.
If it had just been even next Sunday, I would have been into it. But like, yeah. I guess all the New Zealanders, all them things are going home.
Yeah.
The French might have been able to make it next week.
Maybe. Right. Should we do what everyone else does and make a list and pick our team in the tournament?
We'll give it a go. Okay. We haven't pre-prepared.
So no, we haven't.
We're just really going off the cuff here.
So we're definitely going to forget people. And I'm going to straight away apologise because people are going to want Portuguese players in here and I'm not going to put Portuguese players in here. So I'm sorry.
Basically, if I can't pronounce your name, you're omitted from the squad.
Mate, that makes your list pretty short.
Marcus Smith, here we go. George North.
Marcus Smith at one. Right, who do you want at one?
The Ox?
Yeah, because we're not going to have a bench. So obviously,
can't be arsed with that.
If we were going to have a bench, Ox would probably come off it. Ox and Che at one. Love it.
There we go. Two. Easy. Two. Who's played well at two? Most people whack the French lad in, but I'm not sure based on what.
Marchand.
Yeah. No,
not Marchand.
Marvo.
Malvaca. Who, to be fair, was really good. But again, if you're France, the host nation, you should win the tournament. I don't think I can put you in if you don't get there.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mate, shout out to Jamie George, to be fair.
Yeah.
He's been very good.
Played most minutes, I think.
Mbanambi's obviously been... Is it Mbanambi?
I don't think we're allowed to put him in as England fans.
Is it free? Cody Taylor? Is it still Dan Sheehan, even though they were lost in the quarterfinal? Probably not. Bloody hell.
Julian Montoya?
No, I think Jamie George is better than him.
Yeah.
Let's do Jamie George, mate. We're not going to get many England.
Augustin Quivey?
No, he can bore off. I did quite enjoy the little, the chat that Creevy and Montoya were having with all the English lads when they were on. Let's go Jamie George. If there's no one else that's shouting out to us, we've got to get some English people in there. So, at three, we could have the likes of Lomax, Mal Herb, Niakane. Who else plays tight head? I'm really not very good at this. Cyril Bisley's head, isn't he?
Dan Cole.
Can't have Dan Cole.
Who was New Zealand's tight head?
Lomax, who's been very good.
Oh, there he is, he's in.
Yeah, okay. He's like 6'4", I think. Big old boy.
Everyone's pretty big these days.
Four's got to be Etzebeth, surely. Yeah?
I would say Snyman. Maybe.
Mate, I'm not necessarily against having...
You could have Monster and Snyman and just ignore Etzebeth now.
No, mate, Evan was mega, mate. Absolutely mega. In that think back to the quarter. I know it's a while ago, but think back to the quarter.
Yeah, he was.
He was a joke.
I'm just messing. I'm just saying you could have any of the South African ones in.
You could. Shout out Jean Klein, by the way. Rejected by Ireland. Now he's won the World Cup for South Africa. For me, it's probably Scott Barrett to go with him.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll go with that. Shout out to Marrow. I thought he had a good tournament.
He did. That's actually a good point. The best he's been for a long, long time, which is great to see.
Mate, we're flying through this... through this team.
Yeah, I think we generally don't really care too much about forwards, do we?
No.
This is where I think back row is where it starts to get somewhat interesting. Six. Khaleesi in it. I mean, it's not, but it is.
Who else is there? Marcus Kremer?
No.
Had a good tournament?
He's fine, mate. He just tackles people.
Yeah.
You know, he did make more tackles this tournament than any other player ever has, though. 92.
Thank you for the stat.
There's a stat for needed. You.
Peter Romani.
No.
I'm just throwing names out. Tom Curry. That was a joke, that one.
Well, he's been good.
Has he?
It's got to be Khaleesi, hasn't it?
It has.
It has, hasn't it? Okay, Khaleesi in. Seven.
I think it. Peter Steph de Twat's the obvious answer.
But he was unreal in the final and has been good in the other games. But I don't think he's been phenomenal all tournament.
If our bias is shining through, Ben Earls.
Sam Andel.
No, well, he was only unreal in the final as well.
Well, to be fair, Ben Earls has been outstanding all tournament.
That's what I mean.
And they've come third.
Because I think it's. Obvious. So Ben can't go in at eight.
Billy Vunipola at eight, right?
Hardy Severe, man. Hardy Severe.
So Severe definitely at eight. So then we're between Earl and Peter Steph de Toy. Earl has had a better tournament than Peter Steph de Toy.
Yeah.
Peter Steph basically not quite won them the final, but has had an unbelievable game in the final. But Earl has also offered a lot more on the ball than Steph de Toy.
I think I'd go for Earl,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I actually don't think that's that biased. If you take, because obviously if you were just going off the final, you'd just pick South Africa.
Yeah.
So you've got to take that away a little bit. So I think that was a good shout. Nine for me Smith. Is undoubtedly Aaron Smith.
Yeah.
He's just.
I'm glad we came to that agreement.
Yeah. He's just because.
It's because South Africa had four of them to pick. Mm-hmm. So, and Aaron's just been class every game.
Well, he's just been like.
I don't think there's anyone else being close.
You know what, Antoine, I think actually I'm going to be the best nine in the world again, yeah. If that's all right with you. Yeah, he's been mega. I also loved how he, I don't know whether you saw how much of the post-game stuff you watched, but all the New Zealand boys were like devastated.
He was buzzing.
He just looked so relaxed, mate. He just had a big smile on his face. He had his kids.
I guess it's easier when you've won one.
Of course, yeah, of course, 100%. But like, kids were on the pitch. He knew he was banging out, and I just was like, you're just a good bloke.
I like him.
You just seem like a really good bloke.
Awesome as well, mate.
Say again?
All Smiths are.
Yeah. Exactly, mate. That's what it is. Should we have another one at 10? Marcus Smith? No. 10 is tricky, I think. Well, no, it's actually not, is it? It's Mwanga.
Is it?
Yeah. Who else is it?
Pollard?
No.
Kicked winning points in a couple of games. Mwanga missed a kick and they lost the game. You know, tell you who was in a number of teams, which I was a bit confused
but
by.
But we're picking a fly half, not just a goal kicker.
But I saw a lot of people. Well, I saw a couple of news outlets select Jalavere, and I was like, "What?" Set Johnny Sexton?
No.
I'm not convinced by the Mo'unga.
Are you not?
No.
You think it's between him and Pollard? Mate, Pollard's played like an hour of rugby or something.
And he won his team in the World Cup.
I know, yeah, I know. All right.
Let's the kick against New England took some... Like you said, he's got the balls to win it.
Biggest balls in the world. Let's come back to it. We'll settle on that in a bit. So Mo'unga or Pollard, that's our short list. Let's do centres.
This is hard. This is really hard, this position, I think.
I think 12 for me is 100% Jordy Barrett.
Yeah.
I think he's been one of the players of the tournament, let alone 12s.
I think based on what you watch, like what people just see, people think, oh, it should be Aki. But I think all right. I think all round game. Shout out for Delande.
Although I don't think he's been at his sort of quite his like devastating best.
What about Manu?
Best he's been for a while, but not good enough for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, who else is there?
Don. For 13 or 12?
No, for 12. I guess it's probably Barrett or Aki, right?
Yeah.
My vote on this tournament is Barrett.
Yeah, I think so as well. Turned up in the big games.
Yeah, massively. And just offers so much. 13. It's hard. I guess it's...
The fair. Fiji captain.
Yeah, Naiata Levu.
I've got
it for you, mate. Yeah, I think that's a good shout.
It's him or...
Creel's been excellent.
I was going to say it's him or Creel.
But again, you risk putting too much weight in just... winning the tournament.
Yeah.
Naiata Levu is a good shout. Let's go for that. On the wings.
It's hard not...
See, this is where I think we've probably... Well, my opinion is that we probably stray away from South Africa a bit here. Because they haven't really done a lot.
No.
They defend mega well. But if you think back to how Colby was in 2019...
Also... Because of Mo'unga, Will Jordan didn't break that record.
Oh, God, yeah.
That was he wanted the glory for himself there, didn't he?
That was a shocker, wasn't it? That was a shocker.
You can see he sort of looked forward, but I'm like, no, yeah. I'm going to get my try.
Yeah. You've got to give that.
Will Jordan?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
But Carreras had some really good games.
Are we going... Well, okay. I actually think Talay has been better than Will Jordan. Hasn't scored as many tries.
So do I, actually.
We can have both of them, if we want.
I don't know if I want both of them. I feel like I'm picking Jordan just based on the tries rather than anything else. And then, he had an absolute stinker in the first game.
And then Arundel was not far away from being picked. And it's like, well, obviously he's not in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Buffelli.
Buffelli's a good shout.
Johnny May?
No. Who else? I mean, Penno was outrageous while they were still in the tournament.
Yeah, Penno and Taleo. If I was picking my World 15, that might be the two I'd pick.
Mac Hansen was very good while they were in the tournament.
I thought James Lowe was all right as well. Yeah. Josh Adams, Lewis Rees-Zanett, maybe? No, probably not.
Do we think it might be Penno?
I think it might be Penno, you know. I think it might be Penno. Like, if you were picking your World 15 to play tomorrow,
yeah.
I think
that's also the first French player we've got in here, so... Have we got any Irish? I don't think we've got any Irish in here.
You taking getting knocked out as the quarterfinals has been very end of the world.
Yeah, I am. Unlucky lads. 15. Willemse, Barrett, Stewart, Smith.
Ramos.
Oh, Ramos was good, wasn't he?
Hugo Keenan.
Again, not his best, I don't think. Not his best. Ramos was good, man. Who else have we got?
I can't even remember. Lee Halfpenny.
It might be Ramos. Oh, but I mean Barrett's quite good at rugby, isn't he?
Like you say, Williams just sort of did things under the radar a little bit.
I think it's Williams, Barrett or Ramos. Do you want to get rid of one of those?
I don't really like any of them. But I like them all, but I don't think any of them have done more than each other.
I think Barrett's a tricky one. It's I think he suffers a little bit with like the Itoje syndrome in that we just expect. Expect him to score like 90 meter tries every time.
Did
he score
a try in the World Cup final again?
He did.
So he scored in two World Cup finals.
My like gut instinct is Ramos, or is it Will Emser, or is it Barrett? I don't know.
Is there anyone else?
I mean, Freddie Stewart was unbelievable in a losing effort against South Africa, wasn't he?
Yeah,
absolutely unbelievable. But we lost the game.
And you also played on the wing, then? No, he didn't even.
No,
have
not
fullback,
against
sorry.
Africa. Yeah. Who else was in the World Cup? It's just tricky, isn't it? Like it's hard to not put weight on progressing a long way in the tournament. I don't know.
We're really struggling with this fullback.
Yeah,
Ramos is a bit like the Pollard thing. It's easy to pick him because he kicks the goals.
I've got a left field one. Damien McKenzie.
You know what?
Every time he's been on the pitch, he's been a joke.
You just wish he could have played a bit more, don't you?
But we can't. We surely can't put him over Wilhelm.
Who played fullback for Portugal? Let's whack him in.
We should know that, shouldn't we?
We should.
That would be a nice thing for us to know. However,
we don't.
We don't.
I assume.
Get a team. Is it just Will Emser, mate? He's 25. He's won two World Cups. He's played a lot of rugby. He looks classy. Doesn't really make a mistake. Called a scrum when he got a mark.
Opta have selected three fullbacks and none of them are Will Emser.
Is this based on stats?
Yeah, they've gone for Barrett, Ramos, and here we go. David Niyajvili.
Niyajvili. From Georgia.
Yeah. You know what I don't understand?
Oh, to be fair, he was very good.
He was.
Should we stick him in?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I don't get. I've seen 4 or 5 team at a tournament. Gary Ringrose was at 13.
Yeah.
And I don't get it.
He was very,
I'm not here for it.
He was very good. But
was he?
Yeah, he was. But
was he?
But if you lose...
He blows hot and cold for me, does Gary.
Well, mate, some stats for you. You got 6 try assists and they lost in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, but they played against Romania and someone else in the pool stage. Yeah. How many of those try assists came against decent teams? This would be an interesting...
He also made the second most breaks, clean breaks, out of any centre in the World Cup.
How many of them came against Romania?
Probably 6 out of 7, but, you know, who are we to argue with stats?
A tight head, we've got Big Ben.
Ben Tamafina?
Yeah.
We don't, but we could.
He's big.
We've currently got Lomax, but Tamafina was very good, wasn't he?
You could just go around in circles trying to pick this team. We didn't even mention Courtney Lawes at 6.
Yeah, after
saying how good he was for 20 minutes.
Absolutely unbelievable tournament. But we've got Siakalisi at 6, that's why. I think Tamafuna is a good shout. Let's get him in.
Will Smith, that's what.
Yeah. And I think at 15...
Borden Barrett.
I think it's Barrett.
I think it's Barrett.
Yeah.
It's took us 15 minutes, but we've got there.
And then Barrett. We still need to decide our 10.
We've decided Pollard.
Wonga and Pollard. I think, okay, let's go Pollard.
He's got the cojones to win a World Cup.
Okay, so front row, Oxenche, Jamie George, Ben Tamafuna. Second row, Ewan Etzebeth, Scott Barrett. Back row of Siakalisi, Ben Erland, Ardie Sveja. Fucking hell. 9 and 10, Aaron Smith and Andre Pollard. Centres of Barrett and Niatalevu. Back three of Mark Talia, Damian Penno and Bowden Barrett. So in a losing effort, all three Barretts have got into our team in the tournament.
Maybe just needed a couple more.
Well done, Mr. and Mrs. Barrett. Congratulations. Smiler. I'm sure that will ease the blow for them of losing, I'm sure.
I love his dad's nickname, Smiler.
Smiler, is it?
Yeah, because he doesn't smile. He's just sat there.
Oh, is that what
he's
it is?
He's just got like the glummest face in the world.
I have a mate whose nickname is Smiler because he always smiles. But That's
opposite.
That's much less funny. Yeah. One of my mates knows a bloke, and his nickname is Chin because he's got a massive nose, which I really enjoy. That just doesn't make any sense, but I love it.
Nicknames are brilliant.
They are. Yeah, they are. Have you seen the clips of that? I think it's a New Zealand podcast or New Zealand radio show. And they do like phone-ins with like the funniest nicknames.
Yeah.
If you, for those that are on TikTok, if you Google like, if you search like, I think it's New Zealand. It might be Australia, but I think it's New Zealand. If you do Google like New Zealand radio nicknames.
Did you find this well down a rabbit hole?
Some of them are amazing. They're absolutely amazing. So,
what's your favourite rugby one you can think of off the cuff?
Or just a nickname?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of funny ones.
I quite like... I don't know, really. Kamikaze Kids, that's quite a good one.
Yeah.
For Curry and Underhill.
Billy 12 Trees is one's good.
36.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah. That is good.
Was it the Irish lads made that up, I think?
It would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would make sense. Right, mate. And on that note, we might be there.
We've had a real effort to get there.
Yeah, we really have. Yeah, mate, good one. Hour and a quarter in. Very good. Anything else to finish, mate? Are we finishing on Billy 12 Trees?
What, sorry? I'm tired.
Anything to finish on, or are we finishing on Billy 12 Trees? I think that's
looking forward to Six Nations now.
Me too.
Already.
Me too. Less than 100 days, right?
That's 94.
Phenomenal.
As of today?
Okay, good. Well, I think it's only right that after an hour and a quarter of World Cup chat, we finish with the mighty Billy 12 Trees. So, let's do it.
Lovely hair.
Lovely hair.
He's retired now.
Lovely player.
Is he retired?
He's player coach at Ealing, mate.
Ealing, yeah.
I actually know more weird things than I actually think I know about rugby.
Yeah. I forgot you went to Ealing.
Yeah. Good signing for them, to be fair.
Oh, one thing we haven't talked about was sad news about Jersey Reds, because you obviously have no connection to Jersey.
Yes,
you
do not
want to talk about it.
No, I don't mind mentioning it.
Okay.
Yeah, so Jersey Reds have folded effectively. And as regular listeners will know, my brother played for Jersey Reds for like nine seasons maybe. Something like that. So yeah, very sad news. I don't quite understand how a relatively small club in such an affluent place. I don't quite know how that happens to a club like that. I was praying desperately that Superman himself, Henry Cavill, was going to fly in and save the day. That was a bit of a long shot.
Superman.
But yeah, I actually don't know the latest. I haven't spoken to Joel about it recently. I don't know whether it's at all reversible, or I don't know where they're at. But yeah, very.
Hopefully, they
can at least
like
news.
Sort of step down to the national one and play semi pro.
Yeah,
or
hopefully.
Something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're like kind of amateur side. The Athletic are still playing. They still exist. So there's something there.
Well, there's like a lot of teams in National One I know who wouldn't want to go up because they can't.
It's
the costs of
yeah.
National One and the Championship is like quadruple.
Yeah, say probably same as Championship to Prem, I would imagine.
Also, actually, there's a lot of players I know who play in National One who probably earn more money playing doing their jobs than they would playing professional Championship.
They're getting battered every week.
I used to work at Fylde when I was younger, and teams like full of like solicitors, business owners. Yeah. Like if they got the Championship, I'm like, oh, here's your 25 grand a year.
Exactly. Yeah. So
go fuck yourself.
You're right. Thanks. Yeah. I've got to trade every day for 25 grand a year. No thanks. I mean, what did ease the blow is that we were me, my dad, and Joel were all at the Ryder Cup when that news came in. So
that would do it.
We were sat in the sun watching Europe absolutely dismantle USA. So you know that eased the blow somewhat, which was good.
I'm already looking forward to the next Ryder Cup.
It is a wonderful event. If anyone isn't a golfer that's listening, next time the Ryder Cup's on in a couple of years, tune in because it is unbelievable. If you watch the Ryder Cup and still don't enjoy it, then golf's definitely not for you.
Yeah.
But I can highly recommend it.
Do you think they need to have more? No, I know we're a rugby con. Do you think they need more stuff like that in golf? Because it's so big.
Yeah. Well, they're Tiger and Rory are launching some like
something
indoor league or something.
Crazy.
I think that's launching on like January the 9th or something, where like it all takes place within a big stadium, and they use like a mixture of like simulators, and then there's like chipping zones and putting greens.
You see, they did that
real bunkers and all that. I think it's that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but with like all the proper players, and there's like
Doesn't sound as good as being in Italy, sat in the sun with a pint of Peroni.
No, not quite. But hopefully not quite as expensive either, so maybe a bit more accessible.
Yeah, true.
Right, mate, on that note, let's wrap it up, eh?
Yeah,
well done. Let's wrap it up. Very good.
World Cup's over.
World Cup's over for another 4 years. South Africa are still the champions.
Oh, you can't say that.
They've gone.
You can't say that. You've got the Women's World Cup in 2 years. You'll get called out for that.
The Men's World Cup. Sorry, everyone. Obviously, you all know what I'm talking about.
I'm looking forward to that, though, as well. Could be in England. That'd be good.
When is that? 2 years?
25. That'd be good.
Okay, nice. Good.
Hopefully England can win.
I was going to say,
we
should win that, really.
Sure, well, last time.
But I'm the home advantage.
Rather win it at home.
Exactly. Right, let's do it. Otherwise, we'll keep going forever.
Yeah, we could waffle for another 4 hours.
We can, indeed. That is our speciality. But no more waffling required. That does it for episode 38 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by ruck.co.uk and RTS Images. You can find us on Twitter at ruckrugby, Instagram at ruck.co.uk, and just search ruckrugby to find us on TikTok and Facebook. You can visit our website, ruck.co.uk, for all of the latest rugby news and features, and links to all of our channels and that website can be found in the episode description below. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to, rate, and share the podcast. Enjoy a weekend of Premiership Rugby, and we will see you next week.